office. I had an aneurysm. I was never expected to leave the hospital.
All right, Barbara, we can hear it in your voice, the pain, the recovery, and I think some hope's coming. We're going to get to that here in just a little bit. We'll hear the rest of Barb's story. Earlier in the week, we talked about hope, had lots of calls. We got some callers standing by. We're going to talk to you here in a moment. So hang on, Jan and Donna and from Arizona. We'll get to your calls as well and hear your stories of hope today. You know, the Bible says that Jesus is our hope. We're told that hope is not just a feeling or an experience. Even though we say experience hope on our radio, it's more than that. You know, it is a person, and the person is Jesus Christ. But also, it is an experience. And our goal is to help you experience hope. You know, one of the things that I say is hope is a given. It's a reality. It's in Christ. The scripture teaches that our hope is in Him. But the experience of hope can be optional in terms of some days we feel it and some days we don't. And we can all wrestle with different reasons for that. It can be biochemistry. It can be it could be our age. It may be the way we're wired. Our personality may be experiences that we're having. And that's why the scripture tells us in Hebrews 10 to hang on to the hope that we affirm. And we affirm that we have hope and we're to hang on. That's our goal today, to encourage you to do that. We got some great stories. Let's get going. Caller number one from Arizona. Hi there. Welcome to the show today. Go right ahead. Tell us a little bit about what you're experiencing. Hello.
Is that me?
Yes. Go right ahead.
Okay. Hi. So about 18 months ago, my sister, who was 59 at the time, she fell. She literally just took a fall. And she had a spinal cord injury at the time, and she's currently a quadriplegic and still in the rehab center, maybe the rest of her life. Mm. We were raised in a Christian home, both of us raised in the same home together, same upbringing. She's a born-again believer. Since that time, the last 40-some years, maybe she's not been as active in her Christian life as she was before. And she has said things to me like, you know, you did it all right, you did good, blah, 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 you know. But she is in a position right now where even her mind is not always there, and so she does need full-time care.
Yeah.
She can't, you know, it's hard for me to see her, not be able to touch her face and not have control of her, mm-hmm. her body. But my hope is in the Lord, and it has been in past circumstances and in situations I've been through in my life, but I honestly do not know how to encourage her.
Yeah.
In this situation. Sometimes I'm not sure when I try to encourage her if she's even hearing me.
Yeah. So you're, in a sense, you're saying she's more hopeful than you are.
I don't know, because I don't know if she's there. I can be in a conversation with her, and then 2 minutes later, she's closing her ABCs.
Yeah. So what do you experience? What is it that you experience the most? Is it helpless, hopeless, anger? What is it?
I feel helpless. I do not feel anger.
Yeah.
Because I know 100% God has a plan. What hurts me is that there's such, you know, you see these beautiful people going through the hardest of difficult of things you can possibly go through.
Yep.
And there's nothing I can do about it.
That's right. And that's hard, isn't it?
And I'm a person that likes to do things for people. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's very difficult.
We like to be in control, don't we?
Yes. Yeah.
You know, I don't know if this will help or not. But many, many years ago, we had a listener, a young man. He was 25, 26 years old, attended the university here in Tucson. And he was driving his motor scooter to school one day and had a bright future. And he was in a car accident. He was on his bike. Car accident hit him and severed his neck at the C1 level. They didn't expect him to live. I guess that's very unusual that you would even survive. All he could do was basically move his eyes. That's it. Well, and even when he tried to talk, it was his vocal cords, it was hard for him to be heard. And so he would breathe into a little tube, and it would help him write some letters on the computer. You know what? He's in heaven now. But he contacted us through the nurses and said, I listen to you guys every day. Would you come and visit? This was way back when Kevin Lehman was with me. Kevin and I went over to see Ty in the hospital. And some of you in Tucson may remember this when he was, his testimony. And it was humbling. It was humbling. Because here's this young man, had such a great potential, broken neck. And we visited with him and talked to him, prayed with him and thanked him for listening and all the things you do that you don't know what to say because it's so awkward, you don't know what to say, you know. And it was clear before we left, he just wanted to tell us something, and it was really hard for him to even whisper out a word. And so I got very close to him and leaned down over his bed and put my ear very close to his mouth, just far enough to so when he spoke, I could hear him. And this is what he said. I don't know if this is helpful, but here's a man who could have said, help me, you know, do something for me. And he only said this one thing, tell them about Jesus. Tell them about Jesus. And so in the midst of his loss, the midst of his pain, his concern was that those of us that had arms and legs and mouth and health and all of that, that we would be faithful in taking a message of hope out to a hurting, dying world. Now, anything and everything that could be done for him was done, as I understand it. But when I hear you talk about your sister, let me ask you, if she were to whisper into your ears, what do you think she would say to you?
Well, she can talk, but honestly,
what would she say to you, about your life, about what you're struggling with? What do you think she would say to you? Or what has she said to you?
She says, I love you. Thank you for taking care of me. Thank you for coming here all the time. She's thankful for all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
But yet I can still sense that she's very possibly bitter because sometimes the things that come out, you know, of her mouth aren't so great.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's very, very bitter sometimes. She is angry. You talk about angry. She's very angry.
Yeah.
Her husband has really, really stepped up to the plate. He's doing everything he can possibly do, as her kids do. They're adults. And so they've told us in the center that she's at that nobody gets this type of love and affection from their family that they've seen. So she's getting that, but she's angry. I think she just feels, I don't know. I honestly cannot tell.
Yeah. How long ago did this happen?
This happened about 18 months ago. It was December, right before Christmas. And she literally just went into her bathroom and fell flat on her face and was knocked unconscious. And then that was that. But,
So 18 months seems like a long time, but she's still working through all of this, isn't she? Coming to some level of understanding and acceptance.
She wants to go home.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she wants, and her husband cannot care for her for the care that she needs at home. I mean, she has to have all kinds of care, and her mind is not like it used to be either. So, I mean, she can get in. Praise God, he has supplied them with a wheelchair, which was going to be a very huge expense, like $25,000. He's provided that. She can move one arm. She cannot move either hand. So I think to myself sometimes, and I said to my husband, whatever a quote-unquote normal quadriplegic life is, I wish she could live that even.
Mm-hmm.
But when she can't because of her mind.
What has your husband told you?
Pretty much. My husband, he's just very solid in his faith, and he just thinks that we just need to keep believing and trusting. And I always say every day, I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, which I do.
Yeah.
That's not my problem. My problem is I'm, like I told you before, I just wish I knew how to encourage her, because it just seems like he's had a mother who's had Alzheimer's. It's basically dealing with somebody like that a lot of the time. So, you know, sometimes I really, I don't know.
Well, you're a good sister and you're a loving sister and you want the best for your sister. And when you see her going through this, you're going to have a whole, I mean, you're processing this. 18 months is not a long time for a lifetime incident like this. And you're still processing your own hurt. And a lot of what's going to go on is going to go on in your own heart. You're going to have to process this. I think many times we go through life, it's until we get these moments, like you're experiencing that we're really awakened to what does it mean, our faith and hope, and how do we process the uncertainty and the unfairness? It's not fair that a loving, caring sister who loves God and a good mom and wife and walks into the bathroom and falls down and life radically changed. It's not fair in human terms. When you look at the world and you say, well, why not this person? Why not that person? And of course, you know all the answers. We live in a fallen world and we live in a sinful world. I think on a practical level, I certainly don't offer this with a lot of personal experience, but enough to know that just being present, your sister knows you're there and you love her. When you get a chance to pray for and read some scripture, means a lot more than you probably realize. You'd like to make it better, but you can't. Can't change it. Been through that in some relationships. I understand that. You want to do something. You want to fix something, push something. One more doctor, one more report, one more whatever. And that's why the scripture reminds us. It says, hang on, don't lose hope. Hang on. He can be trusted. Don't forsake the assembly of ourselves together with others, being in Christian community, and then continuing to encourage other people to good service. That's really, really what we can do. Can I pray with you? Would that be okay?
Oh, absolutely. Thank you. Yes.
Father, I do pray today for these sisters, because they're both struggling in different ways. One struggling to survive physically and with mental impact and all that. And the other with just all the emotions of standing by and loving and wanting to know what I can do. What can I do to help? And I pray that you'll bring a peace and clarity over this whole situation and some healing. And you are the God of restoration. We do pray for that. We pray for your will in regard to that. And that as she continues to have people around her who speak into her life, love, and hope, that she'll find encouragement. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for your call. Let's take a break. Dan and Donna, thank you for your patience. We'll get to you in just a moment.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
There are principles from Nehemiah for those of us who want to be winners in life, and we see them here. He stopped, he prayed, he took time, he took a risk, he took action, he didn't do it alone, and of course, he finished strong. That's an excerpt from the teaching this month, our master class on the difference between winners and losers. And it's a very practical leadership lesson, a personal lesson for you, for your family, as you lead in your home, in your own life, between these two characters in the Old Testament, real people, real stories, real characters, real outcomes, real examples, Jonah and Nehemiah. Put them side by side, compare and contrast. It's powerful. Anyway, it's our master class going out here in about this time, mid-June, to all of our members around the country, both video and audio, so watch for it. If you're not a part of our community here at Intentional Living, come and be a part of it today. We appreciate your monthly support, listener-supported. We'll start sending you our master classes. Plus, right now, for new members joining us, your gift, or those of you current members, if you could share an additional love gift here in our closing month for the fiscal year, a 13th month, we'd appreciate it. We have a matching gift opportunity. We don't want to leave any of this on the table. $10,800 being matched dollar for dollar, everything going to ministry. So please come and join us. Go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, or click on donate, or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717. Thank you for calling and sharing with us today. Let me go to Beth in from Texas. Beth, what would you like to offer today?
I just really wanted to offer some encouragement, and just kind of goes along with what you're saying. And that life is a journey with God, that there's ups and downs, Sometimes it feels chaotic. Sometimes it's great. But God says that there's a time and a season for everything. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people or situations are our stepping stones in this journey. And sometimes we don't realize that we could be the stepping stones in somebody else's journey.
Right. Are you going through that now?
A little bit. Just kind of off and on, you know. But we have the opportunity to leave an impression of a way of living through Christ. And so even though these tough times come, it might help the individual mm-hmm. wrap their mind around it or cope better if we can see it as an opportunity mm-hmm. and we can count it all joy that we have this opportunity to intentionally praise God in the midst of our situation.
Mm. Yeah, indeed. And thank you, Beth. You know, it reminds me of that passage in Scripture that talks about that very thing, that we should take the trials and tribulations as an opportunity to grow in our faith and appreciation, respect for what God has done for us, that He's faithful. You know, as we talk about hope earlier in the show, I was in the week, I was talking about the fact that hope is a person. I mean, it says that Jesus is our hope, and it's a sure thing. And so if you're struggling today to hang on to hope, which we all do from time to time, the reality is hope doesn't change just because you're feeling hopeless. Does that make sense? Hopelessness doesn't change the reality of the hope that we have in Christ. And so it's a good thing for us to remember that if we're struggling today. Get some help. Talk these things through. But it is an opportunity to grow, for sure. How have you experienced hope? Love to hear your comments on our storyline at 888-888-1717. Always love to hear from you. And again, I just want to say, you help us continue to get this kind of message out around the world through your prayers. Those of you who are supporting us, those of you who are part of our team, hey, thank you, because you're making it possible for us to do this every day from Intentional Living. A lot of helpful resources for everybody today. All right, Donna called from California. Donna, welcome to the program. Go right ahead. What's your testimony of hope today?
Well, you know, I cry when I hear other people's stories. So I just wanted to encourage Jan that hope is love.
Mm.
And for me, I lost everything during COVID. I lost my business, everything, and I'm homeless, and I'm 66 years old.
Wow.
And I live in my car. And this very moment, right now, I have hope and faith that I need to trust God. He has a plan. I actually, a month ago, was in the hospital, and I made arrangements because I didn't think I was coming back. So I was ready, and once again in my life, God said, it's not your time. And I was astounded that I survived, and so were the doctors, which is a testimony. I could not walk. I could not feed myself. And I was alone in my car with a cane and my beautiful dog. And what I've done in the last 2 months is started a process of doing something every day to make my life better. And God has opened amazing doors. Yes. God has opened amazing doors for me.
Have you reached out to your community? Are you involved in a church? Have you looked at resources available in your area? Some practical things that you're doing to help you?
Yes, I have.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Mm-hmm. And these things that are available for people that are struggling are amazing. I've gotten gas. I've gotten food. I mean, God has taken care of me.
That's good.
And one of my favorite songs says, if he can take care of the sparrows, you are more than that. That's not word for word in the Bible, mm-hmm. but that's what I tell myself.
Yeah, if he knows if a sparrow has fallen, He certainly knows everything about us as well, right? Very powerful.
Absolutely.
All right.
Hey, my whole life.
Donna, thank you for calling. And listen, there is resources available, and I hope you'll continue to reach out, because sometimes hope, listen, didn't we just talk about the fact that we are to encourage each other to acts of love and good service? And there are people in your community there who, like you're saying, are providing for you and servicing you and loving on you, and hope comes through that as well. So I'm glad you're listening to the radio there in your car. And we pray that people will continue to be able to reach you right where you are, and we can reach you at least through radio where we are to encourage you to hang on to that hope every day. We'll be right back.
In our lives, we all have challenges and opportunities. In Dr. Randy's message, Winning and Losing at Life, you'll learn about two people in the Bible, Nehemiah and Jonah, and how they responded in different ways to challenges and opportunities in their lives, and how we can finish strong as winners who are obedient to Christ. When you support Intentional Living with a monthly gift, we'll email you Dr. Randy's teaching featuring a new topic each month. This month, we have an incredible opportunity, as some friends of the ministry will match your gift dollar for dollar right now. Receive this month's special offer. And to send in your matching gift, call 888-888-1717 today or visit theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
And you know what? You know what? When you do, you're making a difference in the lives of people. We'll make sure that you start receiving the entire teaching every month, video and audio from our masterclass. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. Go to theintentionallife.com or call 888-888-1717. 888-888-1717. We started the show with Barb, little tease of what she's going through with her hurt and that aneurysm that almost took her life. But she's not hopeless, and I want you to hear the rest of her story. Take a listen.
Hi, this is Barb from Jackson, Michigan. And back in August, I had an aneurysm, and without hope, I would have never made it. I was never expected to leave the hospital. And as I lay there in that bed, I had Jesus with me, and God just touched my body, and I made it. And I'm at home now and doing fine, but I will never, ever be without hope and without Jesus in my life.
You know, that's real hope. Thank you for sharing that, Barb, and what God is doing in your life. It's powerful. All right, Zanetta shares with us a little bit of what she's been learning. So go right ahead. What is it you've learned about hope, Zanetta?
One of the things I wanted to share is that I have been just praying and waiting for restoration of my marriage. We were divorced about 1 month after I gave my life to Christ. I had been just, you know, hoping, waiting, praying, spending time daily with the Lord in His Word, and He has just continued to bring so much encouragement and His promises as I just continue to seek Him and wait on Him for this to happen.
Hmm. So your prayer today is that your marriage would be restored.
Yes.
You're divorced, did you say, or just separated?
I am divorced, and I'm actually praying for his salvation first, and it's been such a huge, amazing blessing because the Lord just shows me glimpses of what he's doing, and the door is just certainly wide open. I mean, my ex-husband is moving out of the world, but it's just amazing to me that he's not dating anybody or anything. I just really believe all this is in response to my prayer from the Lord, and I know that he's in a Bible study currently. Somebody has been discipling him for a couple of years now. Him and I have talks here and there. We've actually developed this really close friendship. No dating or anything from us. There are two children involved, which I guess we work together a lot to do, you know, the things with the kids. And God has just already done so much healing. We've been divorced almost 7, but close to 5 years ago, the Lord actually revealed to me through His Word. Then shortly after that, confirmation through a friend who actually read the same scriptures, and not knowing that I had, that He was going to restore this marriage. Adultery was involved. But again, you know, in the book of Hosea, and even learning how God, he himself divorced the children of Israel, you know, for their adultery and how he restored. And every day being his word is, you know, it's just amazing to me because I just see a restoring God. So focusing on his character and who he is, I just find so much hope and encouragement in that.
Yeah, there is hope. Thank you, Zanetta, staying in the word. And I know that you are praying for that marriage, and we'll be joining you in that as well. All right. You're welcome to join us with your comments on our storyline at 888-888-1717. 888-888-1717 is the number. And I think we have enough time here for Krista from Missouri to share with us a little bit about hope. Go right ahead.
I just totally agree with the whole hope and faith riding together as sisters. My husband and I, we've gone through quite a bit together. And we both realize that the more we let ourselves go and we stop trying to be what God wanted us to be, if we would just seek Him, He would make us what He wants us to be. And so we wouldn't be living a defaulted life. So hope comes in realizing that you can't fly on your own. You have to let the Holy Spirit fly through you. And that's when you lose yourself and you find Christ. So to anyone going through something out there, there is hope. It's called realizing you can't do it on your own. Let Jesus.
You know, that's a good way to wrap up the show today, as a reminder that ultimately we need to be trusting in Him completely. The scripture says to us, and I shared this earlier in the week in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, where the writer of the Hebrews is telling us to let's not lose hope. He says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope that we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep His promise. I mean, that verse alone, what a powerful verse. But he goes on to say, let us also think of ways that we can motivate one another to acts of love and good service or good works. In other words, it's not just, oh, I'm hoping and I'm feeling good and I have my hope, but we're to motivate each other to be able to reach out and use those acts of good service in the lives of others. And then don't let us neglect our meeting together, as some people do, the habits that some people have. Frankly, we saw that during COVID, where a lot of people just bailed out of church. And I encourage you, if you're finding that it's easier to stream your service from home, yes, it is, but you lose that connection. So make sure you're staying plugged into your church. Dr. Randy here for the entire team from Intentional Living. Have yourself a great day, and we'll see you next time with more hope as we talk about what does it take to live an intentional life in Christ for His glory and for our benefit. We'll see you then.